At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Monday edition, another week of the Zach Gelb Show. All across our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, and that always free Odyssey app, 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476, or you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, that's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Jerry Hairston Jr. is going to join us 40 minutes from now. We'll talk about Shohei Ohtani making his return to the mound tonight. The Boston Red Sox, I'm not surprised they traded Rafael Devers. It's how little they got back in return. So we'll chat some baseball today on a Monday with Jerry Hairston Jr. at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time. And then at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific, Chris Persiainen, who works here actually, and he also works for Clutch Points. He's been having a bunch of NBA news, so I think he's producing JR tonight. So he's going to stop by and chop it up in studio with us about the NBA Finals and all the happening in the pending NBA offseason that's right around the corner. Let's start with the hoops. You may have forgot about it, but on Friday night, you had the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were on the ropes. And I really thought that the Pacers at home, up 2-1, in a game where I thought that the Thunder, maybe not were going to easily walk to a victory, but I thought that they were going to win. It looked as if the Pacers were about to deliver a big punch. And with 5 minutes to go in that game or going into the fourth quarter, it felt like, okay, the Oklahoma City Thunder were playing around with their food too much. The Pacers look like the better team. I know that everyone keeps on trying to discredit the Indiana Pacers. All right, whatever. They beat the Bucks. You had Damian Lillard who was hurt. Oh, yeah, whatever. They beat the Cavs. They had a bunch of guys that were banged up. Oh, yeah, they beat the Knicks. The Knicks, they had an all-time gag job in game one. And the excuses and excuses and excuses just keep on piling and piling and piling up. And eventually, when a team keeps on showing you who they are, you just need to sit there. You need to give that team credit. But in the final 5 minutes, the MVP of the league in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he stepped up and he was the MVP of the league. And he showed you why he won the trophy this past year. Because he had 15 points in the final 4 minutes and 38 seconds in a game where the Pacers looked like they were the better team, were playing like they were the better team, and they were about to deliver what would have been a massive punch that basically would have battered the Thunder, would have thrown them into the corner, their legs would have been wobbly, and we would have seen what they would have had tonight to try to extend their season and go try to maybe make this 3-2 going back to Indiana. But in the final 5 minutes, what we saw transpire was the Thunder B. Why the Thunder are a team that is in the making of having an all-time great season. Do I think they're going to be remembered if they win the championship? How we remember right now Shaq and Kobe with the Lakers? No. Jordan and Scotty with the Bulls? No. And you go through some of the greatest teams that we've ever seen with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. But you look at the resume and you see the amount of wins that they have this year. That's the category that they're on the verge of moving into. But it doesn't mean, Jack, you know what, if you don't win the championship. The greatest regular season team I've ever seen were the Golden State Warriors, who had 73 regular season wins. How are they remembered? Not all, they had 73 regular season wins, like you say that, and then you say, yeah, but they were up 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Draymond Green decided to start to kick people in areas that you shouldn't be kicked. Kyrie Irving and LeBron James exploded in Game 6, and then we all know what happened in Game 7. You could say two things. Blocked by James, and then also the Kyrie Irving 3, and I'll even add in a third thing, then Cleveland, this is for you. And the Cleveland Cavaliers ended up coming back and winning that championship. So the Pacers, if they would have went up or would have gone up 3-1, and I said this the other day, then I don't see how you wouldn't pick them to win the championship. As great as this Thunder team is, I did not think that the Thunder were going to be equipped to come back from down 3-1. And we've seen the ebbs and flows of the series. In Game 1, it was, all right, the Indiana Pacers snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. In Game 2, there's a reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder have, 62 double-digit victories this year. Well, they displayed that in Game 2. In Game 3, the Indiana Pacers surprised a lot of people. And what is the term? They took that bacon in Game 3. And then in Game 4, you're sitting there and you're anticipating, okay, Oklahoma City Thunder probably going to run them off the court. They're probably going to go get their 63rd double-digit victory of the season. And for most of that game, the Indiana Pacers looked like they were the better team. And I think the betting line got up to 6.5. I know when we left here on Thursday, it was at 5.5. But it got up to 6.5, and somehow, some way, if you had the Thunder laying the 6.5 points, you ended up covering. Because I think that ended up being a 7-point victory. But for most of that game, it did not look as if we were going to have a show here on Monday, where after you forget about the game that happened on Friday, because the NBA, for some reason, didn't want to play on Father's Day, where you have Saturday, no basketball, Sunday, no basketball. Sure, it was great for golf, even though it almost got washed out. And I thought we were going to have a fifth day of the U.S. Open. But you did have J.J. Spaun winning the U.S. Open yesterday in Pittsburgh. And you go through it, and you look at yesterday. Outside of the golf yesterday, there was nothing going on in the sports world. You know, I'm sure Samter and Stu will tell me there was some Fugazi soccer event or something like that. But no, in terms of what we actually care about here with the four major sports in America, yeah, you had baseball, but it's not even the All-Star game yet. You have the Stanley Cup Final. They played Saturday, as the Panthers on the verge of hoisting the Stanley Cup for a second year in a row, and Connor McDavid's on the verge of going back-to-back seasons without getting a Stanley Cup after getting to the Stanley Cup Final. So outside of golf, and golf isn't even a major sport here, right? Four major sports in America. It's the NBA, the NFL, NHL, and then Major League Baseball. But golf took main stage yesterday because the NBA doesn't want to play their NBA Finals Game 5 until tonight. And the Stanley Cup Final won't resume until Tuesday because they ended up playing on Saturday. So you look at it, the NBA tonight, when you go through it, the way it was looking for most of Friday was that the Pacers were going to go up 3-1. But when needed to, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was sensational. He had 15 points in the final, 438, and now it's 2-2. So I'll just ask this question. And I said this to Mike Breen on Thursday when he joined us. And this was before that we even knew that the Thunder were going to come on back and not just baby up at 2-2. I've already thought that the NBA Finals after through 3 games exceeded expectations. Because I was on an island when I said that the Oklahoma City Thunder were going to win this series in 6 games. Not because I was picking the Oklahoma City Thunder, but it seemed as if most people were picking OKC in 4. It seemed as if most people were picking OKC in 5. It was either one of those. And now we sit here and we get set for a Game 5 and a pivotal Game 5 as the Thunder have regained home court advantage once again. And I do believe that the pendulum's going to shift back in the favor of most people anticipating that, yes, the Thunder are going to win in Game 5. And I am going to say that the Thunder win tonight. With that being said, I am cognizant of the fact that the Indiana Pacers, this is crazy, by the way. You just have to take a guess. Throw a date out there. And we've said this a few times, but not the exact date. but I've given you a frame point of reference. And let's be real, when I said this on Thursday, a lot has happened since Thursday, right? I played golf on Friday. Saturday was a nice little weekend day. Sunday, Father's Day, happy belated Father's Day to all. So you almost forget about the game on Friday. But when was the last time, if you just had to put a dart on the board, just give me a month and give me a day in the month. When was the last time the Indiana Pacers lost back-to-back games? If you just had to take a guess, Stu. Stu's at the bar, just had a few drinks. Oh, you want to play some darts? All right, throw that dart.
All right, let's say March 15th.
March 15th. Samter?
I'll go back to February 3rd.
So that's too far back, but they have not lost back-to-back games this postseason, the Indiana Pacers. And the last time they lost back-to-back games, it was actually back-to-back-to-back. But it was that stretch of March 6th and then March 8th, but the technically March 8th and March 10th because they had a three-game losing streak. That was the last time they had a losing streak. Think about that.
What's crazy is I was actually going to say March 6th because that's my birthday.
Oh, yeah, sure you were.
No, I was about to say March.
After we give you the answer and you said February 3rd. Oh, yeah, I was going to say that. Sure you were.
I was just saying March 6th is my birthday. I was going to say it.
But think about that. They had a three-game losing streak where they lost to the Hawks twice and then the Bulls. So since then, they have not lost two games in a row. So I am saying all that and laying that out there for you. And I look at the way that the series has gone so far. All right, game one, the Pacers win. Game two, the Thunder end up winning. Then most people thought the Thunder were going to win game three. Besides Malika Andrews, give her credit. She was the only one that pointed any of this nonsense out. And the Pacers end up winning game three. Now, you guys would agree, right? As we sit here for game four tonight, or game five tonight, coming off game four with the Thunder in the final 5 minutes just stole victory away from the Indiana Pacers. And the Indiana Pacers, they blew an opportunity. I don't want to hear, oh, the Pacers are a nice story. Oh, Cinderella, it's about to hit midnight. When you are in the NBA Finals, I don't care how you got there, how legit people thought it was or not, how people tried to just take away credit from you all throughout the road. When you are there and you have a chance to not only take a series lead, but take a commanding series lead and go up from 2-1 to 3-1 and you're on your home court, you got to take care of business. You got to finish business. And on Friday night, which seems as if it was 4,000 days ago, the Pacers looked as if they were really going to smack OKC in the face. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander punched back once again, 15 points in the final 4 minutes and 38 seconds. And I'm sitting here and I'm even saying, yes, the Pacers have not lost back-to-back games since March and the early part of March. And I still feel as if the Pacers are going to lose back-to-back games tonight. I think this is the real turning point of the series. What you saw happen in the final 5 minutes, now you go back to OKC, that place is going to be rocking tonight. And I do think the Thunder are going to finally take a lead in this series where you see them go up 3-2, and then we'll see if Indiana could extend this one back to OKC for Game 7. But already, this NBA Finals have exceeded my expectations. And that's coming from someone that picked OKC in 6, and OKC still may win in 6. But I think from a national perspective, if we're being honest from ourselves, most of us thought that OKC was going to win this series, and we're going to win pretty easily. And they weren't going to have to flex their muscles too much. And they weren't going to really have to break a sweat. So can the Pacers prove us wrong once again? Because, Stu, I'll ask you this. Who wins tonight in Game 5?
I think the Thunder.
Samter, who wins in Game 5?
I have doubted the Pacers way too often.
Oh, you're just being a contrarian here.
No, honestly, every time that the Pacers lose, I've said to myself, that's it.
That's
honeymoon's over. Cinderella's done.
Yeah.
I'm done doing that. The Pacers are legit. I think they're going to win tonight.
Okay. What do you think the spread is on this game?
I know what it is. It's ridiculous.
I know what it is, too.
Oh, you guys both know what it is.
Well, it's also an onside offside.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? You guys actually read that before we read it on the air?
I wrote it.
9.5 OKC. I don't think that's crazy, though. I really don't. I know people are going to say, and trust me, I've been leading the train on people saying or saying that the Pacers get disrespected. I've been the one leading that train. This team has 62. 62 wins this season by double digits. Now, I thought it was a little disrespectful the other night when the Thunder were 5.5, 6.5 point favorites on the road. I thought that was disrespectful. But if that's what it was when they were on the road, they're going back to their building. They're going to have that go up a little bit. Now, it wasn't game two where it was 11.5, which, by the way, the Oklahoma City Thunder did cover. But this feels as if, okay, OKC, now you went through a little horror. You went through a little pain. You thought, oh, could you have that embarrassment and go down in the NBA Finals with what transpired in the final 5 minutes in that fourth quarter and the way that SGA elevated his game in that fourth quarter on Friday night. I think that's their coffee. I think that's their wake-up call. And you know what? With some of the great sports that we've had in the last week, week and a half, it does feel as if we're due for a blowout, especially when it's an isolated spot. You have the NBA Finals on tonight. No golf, right? Major League Baseball, I get it, but it's not. You have to tune into Major League Baseball right now. Hockey doesn't play tomorrow. I think there's a moment for the NBA where they could have had a moment yesterday with a little competition, but a moment yesterday on Father's Day when everyone's home. Yeah, you could have had a good basketball game. Now I kind of feel as if not only does OKC win tonight, but they do cover the spread of 9.5. And they get their 63rd double-digit win of the season. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to San Antonio. Kevin is on the line. Kev, what's happening, my friend?
Not much, man. I miss you on YouTube, but I'm going to find out a way to call you. But I'm going to tell you what. The Oklahoma City Thunder got the blueprint of the San Antonio Spurs. They go win. They may play possum right now, but, you know, Indiana's like a light switch. They on and they off.
Yeah, I don't think that it's crazy to compare them in terms of a feel to San Antonio. And I've done that before. With Antonio Daniels that we've had on, former Spur, Robert Ori as well, former Spur. And I even say it when I say that I understand the comparisons and I make the comparisons. Let's see them win a few, though, before we really identically say they are the Spurs. I think we got to be careful with that. And thanks for the phone call, Kevin. Hopefully we'll be back up on YouTube soon. And great to hear your voice, but I think we have to be careful how we say that. They feel like they could be eventually the Spurs. They're not the Spurs, though, right now. And SGA, not that he's a boring superstar, but people don't want to call him the face of the league. Tim Duncan, we know one of the greatest players ever, but no one wants to call him the face of the league. And you look at the rest of their roster, I know what you could say now about Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, and Chet Holmgren's a very good player, and Jalen Williams a very good player. But these aren't usually the players when you look at 1-2s and 3s on an NBA championship team. And maybe it's because we were spoiled for a decade, but you look at KD and Steph, right, and Clay. You look at LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. Even Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. But now we're in this dynamic duo era, and you see a team where, yeah, even when the Spurs, like when the Lakers won, it was Shaq and Kobe. But you even look at that Spurs team, don't get me wrong, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili are phenomenal, but they weren't your stereotypical twos and threes on a championship team. So I do understand it, and also I understand that the San Antonio Spurs play in Texas, but being in San Antonio, smaller market, OKC, smaller market, and the fan bases, both those places, they do give you a college-y feel mixed in with a little pro flavor as well. So I get it. But let's see if the Thunder can do it tonight. And I do think the Thunder will take a 3-2 series lead. But if the Pacers win tonight, oh boy. If the Pacers win tonight, maybe then I'll take a page out of Samter's book and then I just won't pick against them the rest of the way. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We will get to the U.S. Open. Usually when you have a major championship, the next day you're reacting to the guy that actually won it. I'm going to react to someone. I'll give J.J. Spahn his flowers and his credit. But I'm going to react to someone that I've not been a fan of for a long time, And I thought he was absolutely embarrassing, not only this past weekend, but for the last few months. We'll tell you who that golfer is on the other side. It is Zach Gilb showing the Infinity Sports Network. Jerry Hairston Jr. going to join us 20 minutes from now.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
I usually bet every major championship in golf. I pick three golfers, and I'll throw around $25 to $30 on each golfer outright to win the tournament. And I've had some success with it. I won Colin Morikawa. I think it was on his first major championship. The dumbest was it Matt Fitzpatrick? I think it was. It was either the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship. But I won when he was on there, and I won like $1,000. It was a big winner because he was a huge long shot. So anyway, my buddy, you know how you grow up with seven or eight friends and you still talk to them all the time. So we're in a group chat. And my buddy Jason, it's usually just the two of us that we pick three golfers or so before the start of every major championship, and we see what happens. He's the one that I have. Well, I'm not a degenerate, but I do feel as if I'm a degenerate when it comes to Patrick Cantlay. We have bet for 4 or 5 years Patrick Cantlay as one of our three, and then we gave up on him this year. So we've had some success with it. So my buddy, Jason, texts us in our group chat, and this was on Thursday morning before they did tee off. So it was maybe late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, somewhere in there. And he goes, I had a dream about Brett, which is another one of our friend, winning lots of money on a JJ Spawn victory this weekend. So for whatever the reasons were, I didn't bet on the U.S. Open. Didn't place a single bet. And I saw that when I woke up finally on Thursday, and I didn't think much of it. And I didn't think about it Friday. I didn't think about it Saturday. I didn't think about it Sunday until my buddy said, oh my God, JJ Spawn is putting to go win the U.S. Open. And I said, J.J. Spahn? And obviously, I'm watching a little tournament, and it just didn't register with me. I go, weren't we talking about him on Thursday? Didn't someone say that they had some Fugazi dream and about someone winning money, something like that? And my buddy Jason goes, yeah, that's why I'm so hyped. So my buddy Jason ended up putting $20 down on J.J. Spahn. He was 40-1. So it paid out $820. That's a pretty damn good win. Now, if he would have bet, I don't know, 50 or 100, it would have been a much different day, but then he probably wouldn't have ended up winning the tournament. Well, anyway, this is how it sounded on SiriusXM PGA Radio. J.J. Spahn just needed to make this putt in two strokes, and if he did, from the first time he putted it, just got it close and then tapped it in, he would have been the U.S. Open champion. Well, he was very far away, and he didn't need two strokes. He just needed one swing of the putter, and this is how it sounded on SiriusXM.
One of the hardest, if not the hardest test in major championship golf. For the win, J.J. Spahn, ball up and over the ridge. It's on a very good line. This could go in. J.J. Spahn makes it! It's the biggest moment of his career. J.J. Spahn conquers Oakmont and is your 125th U.S. Open champion.
First off, the putt was stupid good. Number one. Number two, how we even got a winner yesterday, I was shocked. First off, the fact that they literally got through the entire round yesterday to me was crazy with how many stoppages that you had. And when you were going through the stoppages, they were playing one of my favorite golf events ever, which was the Tiger Woods Rocco Mediate 2008 U.S. Open. And I saw some miserable people on social media. Oh, this is what golf needs to do. They can't have any live coverage. Well, you don't know how long you're going to be away from a rain delay. Yeah, they cut in here and there. But yeah, you put Tiger Woods up against Rocco Mediate when Tiger Woods won it in a playoff on one leg. That was awesome. And the putt that he had on 18 and the celebration, the only other, I think maybe better Tiger moment for me individually, obviously when he finally won the Masters again after that long layoff, it was 2008 up until 2019, that was stupid good. But when you think of the two moments, you think of that putt on 18 to force the playoff and the celebration, and then also the chip-in from Augusta, where you had Vern Lundquist on 16, I think it was, where he's like, oh my goodness. It's just an unbelievable moment. So that was pretty neat. But the fact that they got through the tournament yesterday was crazy with the rain and also how there was no playoff with how crowded of a leaderboard it was. And we always know the U.S. Open's the most difficult one to win because the course is always the most difficult one. And then you had the elements too, which just made it even worse. So I was surprised that they even had a champion to crown yesterday. I thought we were going to have golf on today, but that wasn't the case. So congratulations to J.J. Spahn. You know, not that J.J. Spahn is one of us, but it was pretty funny hearing him on SiriusXM radio after winning the U.S. Open, the major championship, on overcoming a rough start to his final day at Oakmont.
I wasn't really telling myself anything. It was more of my team, my coaches, and my caddy. They just said, dude, you got so much golf left. And, you know, if you told yourself, you know, on Monday that you'd have or you'd be like four shots back going into back nine on Sunday, you'd take it, right? So it kind of changed my mindset from like choking to, you know, like, okay, I'm still not out of this. There's so much golf left. And, you know, it was a nice little reset. And the same thing happened to me at the Players where I came close to winning, where I was, you know, kind of struggling on the front nine. Then we had the delay, and then we went out and played the last eight holes, and I came charging back. So I just tried to rely on that experience and end up paying off.
And that's the thing of a golfer. It's the bounce back that he was able to have, right? You're trying to win your first major championship. It's a crowded leaderboard, and he just did not get off to a good start. But not only that, I heard him say after the match, too, that I guess his daughter had him up all through the middle of the night because she had a stomach virus or something like that. And his daughter was throwing up. But you look back at what transpired. Not only that, and then you're playing a crazy course where the weather conditions are absolutely horrible. He bogeyed out of the first six holes. He bogeyed five of them. Think about that. And he still ended up winning the tournament. It was just wild to see. But I'll tell you, the person that annoyed me the most is Rory McIlroy. And I've always said this, I'm not a fan of Rory McIlroy. The only time I've ever been a fan of Rory McIlroy was when he actually went to bat for the PGA Tour in the PGA Tour LIV Golf dispute. And he ended up having a lot of egg on his face because in the PGA Tour, they had that compromise with LIV Golf and the merger with LIV Golf. And we still don't know to this date what the heck any of that actually means. But Rory, that was the one time where I actually respected Rory and I liked Rory. Now, I'll admit it. It's because I'm a Tiger guy. And when Tiger was going through his problems, Rory ended up becoming the guy of golf. And I never liked Rory for that reason. And it's not his fault. But I've always thought that there were times where Rory came off as whiny. And for this guy to be doing the crap that he's doing right now, all right, you don't want to speak to the media, that's fine. Whatever. But stop pouting, stop crying, and stop being a little baby when you do finally elect to speak to the media. It's amazing. This guy just got the monkey off his back in April. He finally won the career Grand Slam. Congratulations, you finally won at Augusta. And I don't buy that he's just so miffed because the driver was non-conforming at the PGA Championship and it got out that way. I really do believe the reason why Rory's acting like a little baby is because he's annoyed that he went to bat for the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour, even though we don't have any resolution here, he just, he saw the PGA Tour and LIV eventually came together, and we still don't know the outcome of it, and he's still mad by that because he looked like he got played there. Cuckolded, if I'm just being honest. Basically, they were going right behind his back and sleeping right in front of his own eyes after he was defending him. And I still think he's miffed by that, and he has had an attitude ever since that because he was acting as if he was the tough guy. He was acting as if he was the guy that was going to hold the flag of the PGA Tour, and they threw up right in his face, and they absolutely screwed him. I get that. But if that's what you're still annoyed about, enough. And if you're still annoyed about this non-conforming driver, which no one cares about, enough. Either speak to the media or don't. But when you speak to the media, have some class and don't be an ass. Don't act as that at a major championship, a U.S. Open, when you're a Grand Slam winner. Oh, I don't even care if I make the cut. Oh, it's easier to play when you don't really care. Oh, my God. He is insufferable. And he's acting like a whiny, spoiled jackass. That's what Rory McIlroy's acting last night, like the other day. Grow up. Come on. Stop with this nonsense. You're an all-time great, and you're acting like an all-time baby. That's what you are right now. And I don't understand why this guy is so miserable. You just won the career Grand Slam. And you're making it insufferable. And no one's even applauding you right now. Because every time you speak, it's just a bunch of donkey noises coming out of your mouth. It's ridiculous. You don't want to speak to the media? Don't speak to the media. I don't give a bleep. But when you do speak, don't be an a-hole. Because right now you're acting like an a-hole. Oh, my God. And I've never liked the guy. Hand up. I do not like Rory McIlroy. But for a champion like that to be acting the way that he does in a game that's so classy, right? He's classless right now. Don't give me all the golf peers. Oh, the classiness of golf. He is classless right now. And it's just ridiculous. You hear some of the stuff the way that he sounded? Ugh, projectile vomit. Just go home. Go home and don't play for a while. Here is Rory McIlroy. And this was, I think it was the third day after his third round when he finally elected to speak on his struggle since winning the Masters.
Yeah, I alluded to it in my, pre-tournament press conference. You don't really know how it's going to affect you. You don't know, how you're going to react to such a, I wouldn't say a life-altering occasion, but at least something that I've dreamt about for a long time. I've alluded to the fact that, I have felt a little flat on the golf course afterwards.
You did show great fight yesterday. You were 8 over par after 3 holes of round 2. You could have easily kind of said, this is open, this is so tough. But you fought back 2-1 over the last 15, not just to make the cut, but to give yourself a half shot.
Yeah, it's funny. It's much easier being on the cut line when you don't really care if you're here for the weekend.
Ridiculous.
Or not. I was sort of thinking, do I really want 2 more days here or not? So it makes it easier to play better when you're in that mindset.
Yeah, it makes it easier when I don't care if I win or lose. Ridiculous. Here is Rory McIlroy. If the struggles are reasons for skipping the media recently.
No, not really. It's more a frustration with you guys. But yeah, I'm just, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been totally available for the last few years, and I'm not saying maybe not you guys, but maybe more just the whole thing. Yeah, part of I mean, that was a part of it. That was a part of it. But it's not as if like at Augusta I skipped you guys on Thursday. So it's not out of the ordinary. I've done it before. I'm just doing it a little more often.
Kind of carried the tour of the board for 3 or 4 years now. You feel like you've earned a break?
I feel like I've earned the right to do whatever I want to do. Yeah.
You have, in relation to that, kind of almost addressed the fact that the tour does not require that kind of thing. It's almost like you're daring them to do so in some way. Is that, you know, in terms of a requirement?
No, I'm not daring them to do anything. I hope they don't change it, because it would, you know, it's a nice luxury to have. But I'm just pointing out the fact that we have the ability to do it.
So nice of Rory McIlroy to speak. Oh man, that was real riveting stuff. What a baby he is. Oh my God. And he got the gift too. He got the gift, Rory McIlroy. Right, he finally won him the career Grand Slam. And you're acting like a spoiled kid that the gift wasn't good enough. Ugh. He stinks. He sucks. I'm sorry. I can't stand him. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You want to talk about someone else that sucks? The Boston Red Sox front office. Trader Rafael Devers. Nico Harris to take over that front office? Jeez. Hey, you want to trade him? Fine. And they got very little in return. And also Shohei Ohtani expected to make his return to the mound tonight. We'll chat it up with former big leaguer Jerry Harrison Jr. next. Update time here, Zach. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask this question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's welcome in Jerry Harrison Jr., the World Series champion from the 2009 Yankees, kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Jerry, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I've been really well. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So I'm not shocked that the Red Sox traded Rafael Devers. It's how little they got back in return for him. Kind of take me through how you processed it yesterday when you got that alert that did surprise most people, that the Red Sox are saying goodbye to a three-time All-Star and a World Series champion.
Yeah, I think everybody was in shock, you know, including myself, especially of the timing of it. You know, you guys get traded all the time. Usually this type of trade happens right around the deadline. And especially after the Red Sox just swept the Yankees, and you could kind of see the Yankees seem like, to a lot of people in the baseball world, that they were kind of turning the corner a little bit. They got some of their young guys up, and they're playing pretty good baseball. I just thought it was very strange that they would do it at that time, you know, coming off that huge series sweep with the Yankees. But you never know what's going on in the clubhouse. You never know what's being said behind closed doors, what was said maybe to the coaching staff, management, players. So obviously the Red Sox felt they needed to jump on this trade right away. I think if you look at it from their perspective, they get rid of his contract. Now, I think Devers is an incredible hitter, man. Will he play first base? Rumor is that he will. Will do anything the Giants ask him to do. But without question, the Giants get a difference maker in the middle of the lineup to go along with their pretty good hitters that they already have. So definitely, I would say a win for the Giants just off the bat. But this allows probably the Red Sox to do more come trade deadline.
And the question is, though, do I believe that the Red Sox will ultimately do more? And we know how much they've won since breaking the curse back in 2004. Now, this is an organization, you know it, right, covering the Dodgers for all those years. They had Mookie Betts, and they didn't end up getting to a contract agreement. They traded for him as a horrible trade. And now you did pay this guy Devers, and you have a younger core with a lot of these prospects coming on back. And you get rid of him, and let's be real, this is why I think they got rid of him. He was all miffed going back to spring training when they brought in Bregman, and they told him, okay, he's not going to play third base. Then he goes to DH, and then Cassis gets hurt, and they're like, oh, we want you to play first base, and he said no. So when he said no twice, I think that was the beginning of the end. But to get this little back in return, I know you're a big basketball guy too, Jerry Harrison Jr. It reminds me a lot kind of Nico Harrison, where you want to trade Luka Doncic. I disagree with it. But don't just have one team and lock in on one team. And that's the part to me that I don't get it with the Red Sox, is if you're going to trade him, at least shop him around.
And that's it. You hit the nail on the head. And listen, you're going to make trades. Guys get traded all the time, and very similar to a Luka trade. You're exactly right, where I thought, as far as Luka, they could have got possibly a lot more in return. Now with the Devers trade, he's a difference maker in the middle of the order. Yes, is he a DH for the Red Sox? He is, but he could be a first baseman potentially for other ball clubs, or a third baseman. You know, sometimes some clubs will eat what he may do defensively at third base to have that stud in the middle of the order to benefit the offense. So that's what's the biggest shock to me. I thought they would at least take a little bit of time to shop around, see what other clubs are offering. Because who knows? You know, you could have got a plethora of prospects, a difference maker in the bullpen, or a difference maker, or both in the starting rotation. So I'm not knocking on the players as far as like Kid Harrison, who I actually really like, left-handed pitcher. He was scheduled to pitch against the Dodgers yesterday. I think he's got tremendous upside. I think they were looking for them getting some upside players back. But I think two things I think they were trying to do. Get up out of that contract. They wanted to get rid of that contract. And they felt that they do that, get some young guys back in return sooner rather than later. But something had to be said. That is my humble opinion. Something had to be said to make that type of move so quickly.
And we know that the Dodgers are in action tonight up against the Padres. And right now the Giants are two games back of the Dodgers in the NL. And what a nice surprise this is. Shohei Ohtani is going to return to the mound tonight. What do you think people can expect out of Shohei Ohtani? As we all know what he could do at the plate, and we all know what he did before the injury on the mound. But what do you think the role is going to be on the mound now moving forward?
Well, he's a difference maker on the mound. How soon people forget how great of a pitcher he was, you know, before the injury. He was a top five pitcher in all of baseball. You can make a case, him and Gerrit Cole, the last 4 or 5 years, top two. So he's going to go out and pitch probably 30, 35 pitches, maybe an inning or two. I don't see him pitching more than two innings tonight. You can't send him out on the rehab assignment because he's our leadoff hitter. You know, it's a very unique situation. But we're excited to have him on the mound. I'm getting ready for a Legends game. I'm playing in the game in Birmingham and Rookwood on Thursday. And I was supposed to face him today. He was going to throw another sim game. Wow. I'm a little disappointed because they're looking for some right-handed batters. But listen, the most important thing is he's back on the mound for the Dodgers. He's healthy. He's ready to go. And I think he kind of forced the Dodgers' hand a little bit. He was telling them, hey, I'm ready. I'm healthy. I can help you guys out now because we've had so many injuries to our starting rotation and bullpen.
You still think you'd been able to touch him? Would you be able to get around on one and get a hit or two off Ohtani?
Well, now we'll never know. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
When we get to Aaron Judge, what he's doing this year is just stupid good. And it's wild, and he's clearly going to be the MVP of the AL. Does he give you a Bonds feel? Because I've never, when I see someone go up, I've never just thought walk him, not to the level of Barry Bonds, but since that I saw Barry Bonds play baseball.
Yes. You know, I think, is he approaching Barry Bonds type level? Listen, Barry Bonds was unique. He was outstanding. But Aaron Judge is starting to creep to that point. You know, it's one of those things where for him to be a power guy and to still hit for high average, I'm not talking about hitting 300, 310. He's approaching.
Go out. Here's not for
I'll start.
You're good. No worries.
I'm in an exercise lady. This lady, she's yelling, screaming. She's sitting acting crazy. She has her headphones on. She shouldn't be able to hear me. So, but let me walk out.
Yeah,
walk out. So, all right.
No worries, no worries, Jerry. We're up against it anyway. So we gotta let you run. There he is, Jerry Hairston Jr. Joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I kind of think what happened there, he's in a workout class and he's talking And I'm going to assume that that was either an instructor or a lady that was in the gym, and she got annoyed with him talking on the phone. Is that not what that was, Samter? Do you have any? Did you talk to him afterwards?
He said it was just a lady at the gym who was just losing her mind. I don't think it had anything to do with him.
Maybe a little roid rage by this lady? Could that possibly be it? At first, I thought it was a kid or something in the background. You know, just this kid coming into the house screaming. And then the next thing you know, this lady, she must have not liked the set and the bench press. Maybe the spotter was bad. I thought she was just annoyed because she probably heard my voice in the background listening to Jerry Hairston Jr. do a radio show interview. Alrighty. Well, that was something, I'll tell you that. We'll take a timeout. We'll talk more Rafael Devers when the Zach Gelb show continues after these short messages. Hopefully that lady doesn't get on a plane and come to New York City and try to fight us and yell at us in the middle of a break. Oy, oy. Coming on back.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary, and with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with a Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Parties Over today on the Odyssey app.